It's good to be here this morning, and just thinking in the singing of that last hymn and talking to Craig earlier on, how people are persecuted already throughout the world. And we've got freedom to read God's word and to preach the message of the gospel and preach concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can do it freely. We must thank God for it and all that he gives us. As we were here this morning, the children's verses were brilliant. Absolutely amazing. Most of them said a verse. But have you ever noticed that when they forget their verse or they've got a new one and they can't remember the line, they always got a default position? And the default position is usually John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Emma does it, some of the boys do it. And it's great, isn't it? What a position to be in. A default position that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But what they always say, isn't it? He gave his only forgotten son. But you know, the King James Version says, begotten son. Emma's version and a couple of the boys, their version is forgotten son. But they're equally right. His forgotten son. And I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And I want to talk about him as the center of all things. He should be the center of our lives. He should be the center of the church. And anything we do that does not include him as the center is just a waste of time. Turn with me, please, to just one verse of scripture. And it's found in Colossians and chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. And it's right at the end of the verse, and we'll keep referring to it throughout the meeting. But Christ is all and in all. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we praise thee for those words. But Christ is all and in all. And we praise thee that when we read those words, we can see him as the center of all things. And as we dwell on these words this morning, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts, that we will see Jesus, that one who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, now crowned with glory and with honour. We praise thee that we know where he is this morning, that he is at thy right hand in the glory, ever making intercession for each one of us. We praise thee for the freedom, our God, that we have to preach, the freedom that we have to read thy word. And we pray thy blessing, not only on those in this place this morning, but those children downstairs, that thou wilt bless them with thy word. And bless us, our God, with thy salvation. So we continue in thy presence now. We pray that thy Holy Spirit will be with us, that he will speak through me, our God and Father, through inadequate lips, that thy name might be glorified and that thy people might be blessed, as we ask it in his name. Amen. Now this little verse of scripture, which I just misquoted, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is the center of all things. I want you to picture the hub of a wheel. It can be any wheel. It can be the wheel of the old pit windings, or a cycle wheel, a bicycle wheel. And he is as the hub of that wheel, around which everything else revolves. Christ is like the hub, and that everything that has been created is right on the rim of that wheel. Everything that exists in this world is equally distant from Jesus and equally near to him. The rim of that wheel, a cycle wheel for instance, every point around that rim is equally distant from the hub of the wheel. It's equally near and it is equally far. In the perfectly shaped wheel, the rim goes round and it's equal from the hub all the way around at every point. And to us, Jesus is that hub. And we all revolve on the rim around that wheel. Everything that Scripture tells us. When Jesus has a place on that rim, we can be equally close or equally far from him. The choice remains with us. The good news is that if Jesus is in the midst, he is accessible from anywhere in life. I want to look at the Lord Jesus Christ this morning as the center of geography in this whole world. Secondly, as the center of time in this world. And thirdly, at the center of humanity. The center of humanity. We are looking at the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ to all things, as it tells us in the verse that we've just read. But first of all, as the center of geography, for hundreds of years, people have believed that merit is to be gained by making a pilgrimage to the very place where Jesus was born, or to the sepulchre where his body was laid. During the Crusades, they felt this many, many years ago, before I was born, John, wherever you are, there he is, before I was born. During the Crusades, they felt that if that empty tomb could just be taken off the Muslims, everything would be fine. Everything would be okay. And today there is still great interest in being where Jesus has been. But what did Jesus say? Turn in your Bibles for a second to John's Gospel and chapter 4. And these are the words of Jesus as he speaks to the woman at the well. Verse 21. And it says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me that the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is not a certain country, or a certain city, or a certain mountain that we need to worship Christ. For there is no geographical advantage anywhere in this world. Nowhere in this world is there a geographical advantage for anybody. Everyone is equally on the rim at that wheel, and Christ is at the centre. Not one of us would be better off or a better Christian this morning if we lived right in the centre of Jerusalem. And if you lived at a spot miles and miles, thousands of miles maybe, away from Jerusalem, further from Jerusalem, you would be at no disadvantage. For Christ is at the centre of geography. Just as near from anywhere as from anywhere else, but also just as far. So, he is the centre of geography. But geography means nothing in our relationship to him. I met a Christian the other day who lived in Jerusalem for a full year. And he did it to make him a better Christian by his own, in his own words. He said, I did it, I thought it would make me a better Christian. But is that what it does? Plenty of money has been spent over the years by preachers and others who felt that they could preach better if they went to Jerusalem. If they could just visit Jerusalem where Jesus walked. So they go and they come back. They may have a few stories to tell, but it doesn't actually make them any better. And it certainly makes their audiences no better. Let's just believe what God's word says, that Jesus is the center of all things, that Jesus is the hub and geography is all around him. What did our verse say? But Christ is all and in all. All and in all. So Christ is the centre of geography, but he's also the centre of time. Look back on the time of Jesus on earth and consider the people who were with him at that time. They were unique. His disciples were unique in that they spent all their days with him. They were unique and they were very blessed. But just think, after Jesus ascended back to God, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with each one of them. They were even more blessed. People say, oh, but I would have liked to have lived at the time of Jesus. And the question is this, why would you have liked to live at the time of Jesus? Would you have found anything better 2,000 years ago? Would the world have been a better place? In the day of Jesus, there were hypocrites and Pharisees and opposers and murderers and unbelievers. All in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can look back with misty-eyed nostalgia at those olden days 2,000 years ago. We can look back 60 years ago maybe. Maybe more. And we can look back with misty eyes and say, oh, those days were much better. But Solomon in Ecclesiastes tells us, we do not inquire wisely how that the former days were better than these. And in many ways they might have been, but in many ways they were not. The same things persisted in those days and in the days of Jesus as are here with us today. So he is not only the centre of time, he is the centre of all humanity. With Christ, there are no favoured ones. Christ Jesus came into the world, we are told, to save sinners. And we need to believe that this morning. We've sung about it, haven't we? We've sung hymns this morning that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and lift him up as our Saviour. And he came into the world to save sinners. That's all men. Salvation today is open to all. And we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Not the son of the first century, nor the son of the 15th century, nor the son of the 21st century. As such, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if there's nobody lost here this morning, we could say, perhaps there's no need to seek him. But he is the centre of all things. And we should always be seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. In all things, he should have the preeminence. We know that Jesus and his saving power are just as near and just as far away from all nationalities and from all cultures. As near and as far as the desert and the jungle, as he is to the palace and the universities. He is in the midst of all cultures. He is in the centre of the human race. He is just as near to us this morning. So, he is the centre of humanity. But Jesus is also in the midst of all ages as well. All the ages of mankind, from the cradle to the grave, he is there. I mean our human ages. Thank you for singing for me for my birthday. That was wonderful. I mean our human ages, our birthdays. We are just as near at 8 years old as we are at 88 years old. We are just as near at 70 as at 7. We've been told, and I've said it myself, that as we get older, we are harder to reach for God. But I no longer believe that that is the truth. And the likelihood of our coming to Jesus diminishes with age, we are told. But our ability to come to Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he could say. So our ability to come to Jesus and our ability to come to God is no greater when we are 95 than when we are young. So Jesus Christ stands in the middle of the human race. It's interesting, George and Valerie are not here this morning, but that he was saved at 70 years old. That's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. And God is able to save somebody at 70 just as easily as he is at 7. We might see the difficulty. God doesn't. God doesn't. So Christ stands in the middle of the human race. He stands at the center of geography. He stands as a central figure of all time and in the midst of all cultures. Our Lord is at the center of all life's experiences. Remember the verse? But Christ is all in all. Anyone can reach him. Anyone can reach him this morning. How far away am I from where I should be? As you sit in your seat today, how far away from Christ are you? Are you where you should be? Do you know, when a baby is born into this world, it is born and it has absolutely no experience. It comes into the world with no experience at all. But don't they learn very quickly that when they cry, they will get attention? And they go on learning and they gain experience as they get older and older. But the 100-year-old man or woman has had many experiences in life. But if he lives on a farm up on the hill and he never comes into the towns or the villages, his experience might be very limited, might be very, very narrow. But if a 100-year-old man has travelled the world and he has a broad education and lots of friends and he's done lots of things, he will probably have vast experiences of life. Vast experiences. And we might wonder how the 100-year-old mind could cope with 100 years of memories. I wonder how the 63-year-old mind can cope with 63-year-olds of worth of memories. But there we are. But which one of those people is nearer? Which one is closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? The child with little or no experience? The old man with wide experience? There is no difference. Jesus stands in the middle of life's experiences, and anyone can reach him. Do you remember up on the cross when Jesus died? They wrote that superscription over him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And in that writing, God took in the whole world. He wrote it in Hebrew and Greek and Latin upon the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And Hebrew pictures for us the religious world. Greek is the philosophical world. And Rome is the political and military world. And Jesus was crucified. And he was crucified in the center of man's world. Crucified right at the center. And all were equally far and equally near. The rabbi with his religion was as close to the Lord Jesus Christ that day as he could be. The Greek with his philosophy, watching those events at the cross, was as close as he could be. The Roman with his politics and with his military power was as close as he could be. And yet, they were equally far away. And in the gospel sense this morning, men and women are on the rim of that wheel, as we discussed earlier. And they're equally near, and they're equally far away. Christ is all, and he is in all. Where does Christ figure in your life this morning, and in mine? Is he everything? Is he all? And is he in all? Does Christ have the preeminence? As individuals, has he got the preeminence in our lives? As a church, has he got the preeminence in our church? Is the most important place reserved for him in our hearts and in this place? And that's the question, really, that I just want to leave you with this morning for your own consideration. Christ died for sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to die for sinners. He was at the center of God's love, and yet he left the heights of eternal glory that he might die on a cross, that we might be saved. Is he the center of our lives, or is he somewhere out there, ignored, unloved, and as the children say in their verses, forgotten? Only you can answer that question in your own life. That chapter that we read together, I was going to go through a number of verses in it, but I don't think I will. I'll just refer you to the last verse of Colossians chapter 3. And in that verse it says, verse 25. You remember that Paul here was talking to many different people in the church at Colossae. And he says this, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And the God with whom we have to do, there is absolutely no respect of persons with him. He sees the sinner and the saved. And seeing them, he sees them either covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Are our sins covered this morning by his blood? Because that verse tells us that it is a judgment to be faced, and that judgment is before a holy God. And there is coming a day when God will judge this world in absolute righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And that man is none other than the man that died on the center cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Have you found him for yourself? Do you love him? And is he the center of your attentions? Like I say, it's only each one of us as individuals before God that can answer that question. And the question remains with you. May we each give God the place he deserves. Give the Lord Jesus Christ that place of preeminence that he seeks within our hearts, that we may know him as he would have us know him. So God will add his blessing to the reading of his word and to the things that we've talked about. And may we all give him the preeminence in our lives. Amen. Father, we praise thee for this short verse of thy word that we have read together. And we pray that thou will bless it to us this morning, that we may see Jesus in all his glory. We know that he is coming soon, our God and Father, and he's coming for those who love him. Help us to love him more, as we ask it in his precious name. Amen. And now we'll close with